the actual stories of the, or the account is probably a better word, the account of the resurrection, and that'll be from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. So John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and I'll be reading the first 18 verses of that chapter. John chapter 20, and we'll begin reading from verse 1, where we read as follows in the name of our Lord. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not that the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Amen. Let us pray. Father, truly indeed, we are thankful this morning for your word. And we are thankful for this account, because herein lies our life. And so we pray that once again this morning, you, Father, would make yourself known to us through this word. By the power of your gospel, open the hearts of these people who have gathered here, so that together, Father, we could rejoice in our salvation, and we could hear the words of Christ speaking our own name, and calling us unto himself. So, Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. We ended Good Friday on kind of a sad note. Those of you who weren't here, of course, I hope at least you have read the story, or perhaps you gathered somewhere else for Good Friday. On Good Friday, Christ died. And the whole earth was shaken by that event. When he pillowed his head in death, it changed the whole scope of the earth. The earth itself went dark. And there was an earthquake, and all of these things took place, indicating that something traumatic had happened in this world. And I made a point as I preached through that text or preached on that evening, on Friday evening, to simply bring you to a point where you would recognize that this has a tremendous amount of weight for you. The death of our Lord and His crucifixion has a tremendous amount of weight and a powerful message for this world. But do you know that without this event, that event is meaningless? He would have been just another good man, another man who had done, you know, good things for people, brought healing to people, ministered to people in powerful ways. He would have been much like a Mother Teresa or someone like that, who simply lived out a good life here in this world according to the vision of people. But that's it. The message of the resurrection brings power to the Christian church. It actually makes our message have its effect and power in people's lives. For without this message, Paul even says when he writes to the Corinthians, we are still in our sins. If Christ has not been risen, he says, then we're still in our sins and we're of all people to be pitied. Because we have fallen or followed blindly this man called Jesus of Nazareth. But he is risen. Which is what Paul will go on to say a little later in that chapter. He is risen. And because he has risen now, he has brought all of us now onto newness of life. Our lives have changed. In fact, the world has changed. You see, very often people fear the end of the world. This is what they fear, or you get wackos out there who are preaching out there about the end of the world is going to happen on such and such a day. Let me tell you something. The end of the world took place when Jesus died on the cross. He brought that covenant and that life, that whole world, to its end, to its proper end, and to its judgment. But because he rose and because he lives, he has brought now the human race onto newness of life. And we are ultimately this morning truly alive because of the person and work of Christ. He is risen carries a great amount of weight with it because it validates the entire Christian message. Which is why when the early disciples and followers of Christ entered into their world after his ascension, actually, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, they went out and they preached about the resurrection of Christ. And I wonder sometimes if we have lost the sense of that. If we have lost the sense of what it means now to live in resurrected power. Perhaps the Christian church has failed in that way, where they begin to simply focus on death and sin, instead of on the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, who escaped from that tomb, actually walked right out of that tomb. Do you realize when that stone was rolled away, it wasn't rolled away to let him out? He simply walked out of there vanquishing death forever. Christ tastes death for everyone, the Hebrew writer tells us. And he vanquishes it once and for all. He conquers it in his powerful resurrection, which means, my friends, that when we dwell in Christ, when Christ is in fact the one who we follow and live in, we are resurrected as well. I have said this many times preaching from this pulpit, but if we're just simply looking at the resurrection as event, then it's meaningless as well. If it's simply just an event that you come here and celebrate and then go on and live your life however you want to live it, then it doesn't have its effect and power. If you have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of this earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Romans 3, the first four verses or so. Colossians 3. This is what the early church understood. They understood the resurrected power now that we live in as the followers of Christ, and how we now are able to actually enter into this world and to bring this message to people, to tell them, yes, your sins are forgiven. Which is why what Jamin read for us this morning is just powerful. As Peter enters into the house of Cornelius and proclaims the message to them, this man, your belief or faith in this man has brought you the forgiveness of your sins. Do you realize that forgiveness of sins is still the centrality of the gospel? And it will remain that until the day Christ comes back. Because this is what assures us as we live here this day, on this particular hour, we understand by the finished work of Christ, my sins are forgiven. And because He rose again, that has been validated. I have been justified or made right, the Scripture tells me. So why would you want to live anywhere else? You tell me why you would want to live anywhere else. Why would you want to live outside of the person of Jesus Christ? That is a vain and a lost effort. And will bring you to hopelessness and futility. This is what brings the resurrection its power. You know, there's a lot of characters here in this story that we read. Well, not a lot of characters, but there's several characters within this story or account that we read this morning. There's John, and there's Peter, and there's Mary. And Mary is an interesting person in the account of the resurrection, because Mary had encountered the Lord while He lived here in this world. And she had encountered Him as one who delivered her from the possession of seven demons, actually. Mary Magdalene had been possessed and driven by these demonic forces until she encountered Christ. And he cast out those seven demons from her. And so, of course, she had a great adoration for Christ, because her life had now been changed. And so can you imagine, if you were to place yourself this morning in the shoes of Mary, in the sandals of Mary, and you had encountered Christ as He walked here in this world, and you were possessed by these demons who were tormenting you, who were driving you to do things you would rather not do, and suddenly you're rescued from that, and you have newness of life. And you begin to follow this man, and as you follow him, he begins to teach you many things which are hard for you to understand, but that which is powerful in their teachings. But then one day you see him being nailed to a cross. You see him being nailed to a cross. And not only nailed to a cross, you watch the soldiers as they drive that spear into his side, and he dies. Perhaps you would be like Mary. You would go to his tomb. After the Sabbath, you would go to his tomb because you would want to at least there maybe lay flowers around the tomb or whatever. Well, she was going to go there to anoint the body of Jesus, as was the custom of the Jews. But instead, when she gets there, the stone that they had rolled over this cave or tomb was rolled out of the way. And she, not understanding that, simply looks and says, someone has stolen his body. Someone has stolen the body of the Lord. What am I going to do now? And she panics, in a sense, runs to find the disciples. And these two disciples who run to the tomb to examine what she's talking about are Peter and John. And almost in a sort of a comical way, it tells us that John actually was a faster runner than Peter, because he made it to the tomb first. But then Peter, being the bolder one, enters right into the tomb, because John just kind of looks into there. But Peter walks right on in. And when he walks in there, he sees the clothes lying there, the grave clothes. It's all they were. No body. And John then steps into the tomb as well. And when he looks in there, it tells us in our text, he believed. Because that's the whole essence of the empty tomb, is for you to believe. And the essence of the proclamation of the gospel and the forgiveness of your sins is so that you would hear the voice of the Lord. John and Peter went back home. They looked into the empty tomb. They seen what was there, the empty grave clothes, which simply indicate this was no mere grave robbery. This was something miraculous. The clothes were lying there right where the body had just been, except for the napkin or the thing that they would wrap around their heads, the heads of the corpse. That was folded up and placed in it by itself in a separate place. But Mary hangs around. Mary stands outside of the sepulcher and she's crying. She's weeping. And when she looks into the sepulcher or the tomb, she sees two angels sitting there. And this is kind of fascinating to me, because she doesn't even seem to like skip a beat. You know, she doesn't even become too alarmed at these two individual sitting there. She just says, they ask her, well, why are you crying? She says, well, somebody has stolen the body of my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him. And Jesus comes onto the scene. Jesus enters into this scene. Here is this woman of who I've already described for you. You can read in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, how Mary Magdalene was delivered from her demon possession by the Lord himself. Here is this woman who had been rescued from her sin and from her plight in this world, standing at the tomb of a dead Jesus, so she thinks. And suddenly behind her appears Jesus. But she doesn't know it's him. And he says, woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And she thinks, well, this must be the gardener. Sir, if you have borne him hence, if you have taken him away from here, tell me where he is so that I may... Or bring him to me. This is interesting. She says, well, at least tell me where he is and I'll take him from there. Her devotion to Christ was to this point that she would have actually, she thought, carried his dead corpse, if she needed to a different place, in order to pay homage and respect to this marvelous miracle worker, to this man who had changed her life completely. She wanted to do whatever it took in order to make sure that he had the proper burial And Jesus just simply says, Mary. Mary. And her whole world is rocked. Because she recognizes the voice of her Savior. The voice of the one who had rescued her, who had saved her from her plight here in this world. And you see, this is what really makes the gospel, so to speak, have wheels or tracks. Which is why I say the resurrection, simply just as event, is just another event in the calendar year. But when it becomes my resurrection and your resurrection, then it has meaning. When the voice of Christ speaks my name, when I understand that this is who He came for, not just for everyone else in the world, but for me. Mary. You see, our Lord and our Savior, as He viewed this world from His cross, spoke some powerful words. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And as He views the landscape of humanity, He sees each and every one of you in your particular situation in this life. And He says, what's the matter? Why are you weeping? Why are you struggling with whatever it is that you are struggling with? Don't you understand who I am? Don't you understand what this event is all about, this Holy Week, the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of our Lord? It is not just event. It is our life. It is our identity. It is who we are. The resurrection of Jesus Christ brings us onto newness of life. It identifies us in a different way, which is why I tell you this event brings in the end of the world and brings a new one into existence. The only problem that you and I have as human beings is we simply can't see it yet. But that doesn't make it any less real. Just because you and I can't actually experience it in our fleshly existence right here in the here and now doesn't make it any less real. This is called the miracle of faith. Which means that as I view Jesus on the cross and I run with Peter and John to His tomb and see Him empty, and as I stand there and witness Mary being spoken to her by her Lord, I recognize that this same Lord and Redeemer is mine. He is mine. And He has driven all of the darkness out of my own heart as well. And He has brought me onto newness of life. And suddenly all of the things of this world and its events begin to fade away into the background because these things are just simply earthly. And though they can have a tremendous amount of meaning to us as we live out our lives in this world, this event changes all of that. Which is why this day, this same Lord speaks your name. Because today is the day of grace. Insert your own name into there. Hey. Well, I better not do that. I was going to start listing off some names, but then somebody might feel bad because I don't know all of your names. Insert your name into there. As the Lord looks upon you in your perhaps downtroddenness, your sorrow, your grief over your sin, which is where I really want to end this today. Mary turns to Jesus, and she utters a word which simply means teacher or master, Rabboni, which is Aramaic, I believe, for master or teacher. And he tells her, don't touch me now, don't cling to me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And my friends, this is very significant. You can't miss this. Jesus says all of the separation or all of the barrier that was between God and the human race has been torn away. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And I have told the congregation, the people who gather here on a regular basis, that is the most powerful message that you will ever hear ringing in your ears. My sins are forgiven. That which separated me from God for all of eternity has now been torn away, and now He is my Father and He is my God. Mary, don't cling to me, Jesus says. In an earthly way, simply looking at what you can gain from me in an earthly way. No, recognize who I am. Because you will see soon enough. By the eyes of faith this morning, we walk this journey. And what a journey it is. Mary Magdalene goes and tells the disciples that she had seen the Lord. And that He had spoken these things unto her. Now can you imagine, I want to put you in the shoes of Peter for a moment in our closing moments this morning. Mary comes busting back into the house where they were staying in Jerusalem. Hey, I seen the Lord. He's actually alive. But Peter, as he begins to think about the events of the last few days, remembers something. He remembers a conversation with the Lord. And the Lord told him, because Peter said, I'm going to go to death with you. Whatever happens, Lord, I'm by your side. I'm your man. And Peter says, no. Or Jesus says to Peter, no, actually, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. No, never happened. All the other disciples said the same. We will go to death with you, Jesus. No problem there at all. By the time that fateful night ended, the cock had crowed twice, and three times Peter had said, I don't know who that man even is. And here's Mary telling Peter, he's alive. He's alive. There's a song by Don Francisco. As he, I think, imagined this whole event with Peter. And I'm going to read that song for you. He's Alive, it's called. I would sing it, but I don't know if I could actually get through it. The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers crashing through to drag us all away. Then just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down to the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stones have been rolled away and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but what I did not know. John believed the miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, because I had seen them crucify him, and then I had seen him die. Back inside the house again, all the guilt and anguish came. Everything I had promised him just added to my shame. But at last, when at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I had ever had just melted into peace. He's alive. My friends, he's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. This is the chorus, and you're familiar with it. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are opened wide. He's alive, he is alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Brothers and sisters, friends, guests, he's alive and you're forgiven. And heaven's gates are opened wide. Praise God for his miraculous gift, because he's risen. He's risen indeed. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Father, for this powerful message that you have given to your church, where we can stand and proclaim by faith that indeed Christ is risen. And because he is risen, Father, we are fully alive. So I pray, Father, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would minister this same gospel message to all who are gathered here. That we would leave from this place changed as individuals, every one of us. That we would understand that indeed, because of the work of Christ, heaven's gates are open wide. And there, Father, we see your Son, seated at your right hand, extending grace and forgiveness to us all of the time. So help us, Father, as your church, as your people, to go out into this world and to proclaim the resurrection, to proclaim the forgiveness of our sins and the forgiveness of the sins of this world, so that people all over would have their lives change and would come to faith in your Son and would follow you all the days of their life. For we ask all of this, then, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.